This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is John chapter 5, verses 30 through 47. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. John, the 5th chapter. Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do you think that I will accuse you to the Father? There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I've been traveling less the last week or two, so I've been watching Ken Burns' special on the American Revolution, which is very interesting, and I was thinking of Thomas Jefferson last night. And I have Jefferson's Bible. It was something he put together later in life, about 1820 or so. And what he did was he went through, and this is a facsimile edition. These were given out, published first in 1904 by the U.S. government, and given out to new Congress members every 2 years. Which I didn't realize until yesterday. And what Jefferson did is he went through the Gospels and he just cut out all the stuff that he didn't think was necessary. And what he did was quite interesting. He said it was like picking diamonds out of a dung heap. When he explained to a friend, I think Benjamin Rush, what he had done. And I'll just read some of his letter. It's delightfully wicked. I should proceed to view the life, character, and doctrines of Jesus, who, sensible of incorrectness in their ideas of deity, that is his contemporaries, and of morality, endeavored to bring them to the principles of pure deism and juster notions of the attributes of God, to reform their moral doctrines to the standard of reason,
justice, philanthropy, and to inculcate the belief of a future state. This view would purposely omit the question of his divinity and even of his inspiration. To do him justice, it would be necessary to remark the disadvantages of his doctrines had to encounter, not having been committed to writing by himself, but by the most unlettered men, by memory, long after they had heard from him, when much was forgotten and much misunderstood. And so the dung heap included all the sacraments, all the claims of divinity, and the entire chapter 5 of John's Gospel. Why? Because chapter 5, Jesus asserts his divinity in extraordinary ways, repeatedly and over and over. It's really interesting. We live in such wonderful times. There was a French guy named Loiset, and he asserted already in the 19th century that where John 5 starts with the colonnades, five colonnades at the pool of Bethesda on the north side of the temple, he says, that's ridiculous. You can't have a pool with five colonnades. It has four surrounding it. And therefore, this, like Jefferson's view, these are stories made up by minds that are awfully confused. Well, already during Loiset's life, they excavated the Pool of Bethesda, and then definitively, some years later in the 19th century, guess how many colonnades Bethesda has? Five, exactly. We are privy to this work over and over again, and it's so delightful. Jesus is making himself equal with God, it says earlier in John 5. He's calling himself the Son of God, thereby making himself equal with God. Luther says that, quotes the old theological dictum, opera externa indivisa sunt. The internal works of the Trinity, are indivisible. I'm sorry, I got to go back to Pieper. The external works of the Trinity are indivisible. The internal works of the Trinity are divisible. That means the Father begets the Son. I'm going to end up a heretic by the end of this sermon. The Father begets the Son. The Spirit proceeds from the Father and Filioque and the Spirit and the Son. So, we worship this God in life when he creates things. Luther goes on to say, thus, in the cultus trinitatus, ab extra est indivisa. That is, in the worship of the Trinity, we worship God united as Trinity in all his external acts. So God, Father, Son, and Spirit created all things. And though Jesus, the Father, does not die, nor the Spirit dies, nevertheless, it is the Father's own act to send the Son to die on the cross, to give his Spirit. And it is God, the Father's own act to bring you to faith, along with the Son and with the Spirit. They have the same will, the same determination, the same love, the same effect to bring you to faith in Jesus. And therefore, we worship the Trinity, especially in this Lenten season. Jesus says, I can do nothing on my own. I and the Father are one. Jesus' will is the Father's will. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Do you want to know what God's will is for you? Do you want to know what God's will is for your life? Don't try to look behind the Bible. Don't try to look behind Jesus to something you can't see. Look at Jesus. Does God care for you? What more evidence do you need? Does God call you to faith? What more evidence do you need? Look to Jesus. not to something invisible and unseen. It is Jesus who bears witness to the faith. And it is not only he who bears witness, but his witness would be invalid, he says, if it were merely his. It is the Father's divine witness. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Come to me, all you're weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come to me, he says to you. You search the scriptures and think they have eternal life. They testify of me. The scriptures are where we hear God's own voice, wrought by the Spirit, as men were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It's the word of our shepherd. It's the word of Jesus. The whole Bible testifies to Jesus. And that Bible testifies to this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.